Last week, we spoke about the vine and the branches. The subtitle would be, The Foundation of Abiding. Today, we're talking about hearing His voice. The subtitle would read, The Conversation of Abiding. The Foundation of Abiding, The Conversation of Abiding. Jesus said, If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, there's nothing you can do. It's that process of abiding that brings fruitfulness. But today we want to talk about hearing his voice, the conversation of abiding. And what I mean to say today initially, and to help us understand, that our emphasis is more than simply believing in Jesus. It's living in continual fellowship with Him. People say, well, I believe in Jesus. That's all I really need. That really falls short of God's purpose and plan for your life and mine. He wants us to live in communion. And as we look at this particular scripture about the good shepherd, as opposed to bad shepherds, 5 times in that portion of scripture that Dixie read, Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. 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 I, in fact, do lay down my life for the sheep. 5 times. 5 times he mentions that. And it really is prophesying, speaking about his upcoming death on a cross as our atonement. The perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute, paying in totality our sin debt. I lay down my life for the sheep. But as the good shepherd, he wants us to understand that he does 2 things. He lays down his life for the sheep, which is his gracious provision. But he also protects the sheep. You may be going through a difficult time, maybe battling health issues. Maybe there's loved ones, precious people in your life, or as we're talking about, our pets. Things that are precious to us. People that we love. Uncertainties that we're facing. Loneliness that comes and we don't know how to cope with it. How important it is to know you have a good shepherd who's laid down his life for you. And he wants to do 2 things. He wants to provide for you and he wants to protect you. In the Old Testament, it described God the Father as the good shepherd. And then Jesus picks up that same theme through the whole New Testament. You see Jesus giving this very beautiful pastoral metaphor that points to a deeper spiritual reality. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he provides. He causes me to lay down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. That's his provision. He's a good shepherd. But he also protects. He has a staff. And he uses that staff to guide, but also to protect. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You're with me. I'm not going to fear evil when I walk through the shadow, through the valley. And I will walk through that valley. I won't stay in that valley because he's a good shepherd and he's going to lead me to that place of provision and protection. So hearing his voice is very important. It's not just praying. It's not just a one-way monologue. It's a dialogue between you and God the Father by virtue of the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the truth of God's word guiding your conversation. Hearing his voice, the conversation of abiding. I want to say to begin today that hearing his voice is one of the primary ways abiding becomes a daily living relationship. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what you want? Is a daily living relationship with God? It's all about communication. Communication is the key to your relationship, and it's two ways. Every healthy relationship involves communication. We speak to God through prayer, but God also speaks to us. Listen to John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There's a sequence there. Hearing, being known, and following. And I would say, we hear his voice, we believe in his words, and we follow him. Well, following Christ begins by recognizing his voice, and I want to give you four or five key pointers to help us understand how important it is to hear his voice and how, in fact, we can hear his voice, especially in those moments of desperation and loneliness and fear. Number one, the shepherd speaks because he knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. If you had a relationship with someone and they never spoke to you, how would that relationship survive, let alone thrive? Communication is so important. Someone speaks to you because they care about you. If someone ignores you, there's a lack of relationship. There's a problem. Verse 3 says, "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out." The sheep recognize him because they know him, and his relationship with the sheep is personal. It's not just theological. It's not abstract. It's not theoretical. It's personal. Religion can be very impersonal and formulaic and structured. But Jesus didn't come to start another world religion. He came to show us how we can have relationship with God the Father through him and his indwelling spirit. The word of God was not given for our information, but for a building relationship with him that involves our transformation. Now, I really enjoyed the Back to the Bible teaching on the nature of sheep and shepherds. And I remember speaking about sheep in somewhat derogatory terms in a former church. And I said, you know, sheep are kind of dirty and kind of dumb. It kind of goes together, right? And there was one man who was the CEO of a large tech company. And he came up and he was quite offended. He says, "I'll have you know that I am neither dirty or dumb." He was quite offended. And I didn't really have a comeback. But when you look at sheep, and maybe that's the fact is that sheep have a tendency to wander off. And because of the lanolin in their wool, they're kind of like dust magnets. You know, if you could train the sheep to go under your sofa and collect all the dust bunnies, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know. But sheep have a tendency to wander off. And that's why sheep need shepherds. And the amazing thing is, as we read this verse, it says that the sheep recognize him because they know him. They recognize his voice, and the relationship with Jesus is personal. In those agrarian countries where they tend sheep, the sheep are gathered together into a large pen. Now, there can be several flocks, several shepherds, but one pen. So they bring all the sheep together into that one pen. And in the morning, all the sheep are mixed. They're all together. How do you separate the sheep for the different flocks? I mean, you want to paint with one of them, you know, spray bombs. My sheep, right? Amazing thing is, as the shepherds come to the pen, they simply call out the sheep. And the sheep separate themselves, and they actually follow the shepherd. There's a personal relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Jesus knew what he was talking about. And he used this lovely pastoral metaphor to point to a deeper spiritual reality. That personal relationship with the shepherd. Do you have that this morning? Do you have a personal relationship with a shepherd where you know him? You know his voice when you hear it. That's a beautiful relationship. It's one of the most beautiful pictures in all of Scripture. And I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't merely lead crowds, right? We love big churches, right? And we love all of that and the energy. But you could get lost in the shuffle in those big churches. I've fellowshipped in large churches, ministered in large churches, but there's nothing like an intimate relationship with the flock. As I said before, we were offered a position with a very large church, congregation of over 2,000. And my wife and I said to the people, we said, you know what? We have a small flock, and we love them, and they love us. Never discount the value of a small flock in the eyes of the Lord. Don't discount it. And don't talk about the church, oh, we have a small church, as though that was a bad thing. We have, as Dixie says, a great church. She says, I love our church. Don't base the greatness of the church on the number of people sitting in the pews. Base it on the fact that you have relationship with each other and with the people who shepherd you and care about you and pray for you. Such a privilege. That's what we have here, and we're very grateful for that. And keep in mind, pray for the people who are away right now, because we got several folks that are traveling. So let's remember them. So he calls individuals. He called you, called me, and he knows each one of you by name. He knows every burden, every fear, every unanswered prayer, every hidden tear. He knows what's going on in your heart right now, and he cares. So number one, the shepherd speaks because he knows his sheep. Number two, hearing his voice is the evidence of relationship. It's the evidence of relationship. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And I want you to notice that a shepherd, he's not back there kind of whacking the sheep, trying to drive them, right? Try and herd cats. That I'd like to see someone do that. but he doesn't drive them. He leads them, and they follow him. That's a really important reminder for us, because oftentimes we like to run ahead of the Lord rather than waiting on him, listening, hearing his voice, sensing his guidance. How important is that? The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, Jesus doesn't say that the sheep know everything, right? He does say that the sheep know his voice, right? Over the years, I've had sheep. And a good shepherd loves a sheep. One pastor said to me, said, don't ever beat the sheep. I said, why? He says, because the sheep will bite you. Good reminder. but we're to love the sheep. And for a pastor, that's the heart that the Lord gives to a pastor. He truly loves his sheep. Granted, some of the sheep can be joy suckers. None here, or present company excluded. And I'm sure when those sheep are translated to glory, the pastor will say all the right things and be very gracious, but in his heart said, thank you, Lord, they're your problem now. but a pastor truly loves his sheep, and we love you, and you are a blessing to us. When you think about a child in a crowded room, I think about our boys. In fact, it was Cole. Cole is up there running AV this morning. We were in a department store. I don't know if it was the Bay or just where we were. It was Walmart. I think it was Walmart. And he was just a little toddler. And as toddlers do, they toddle off. And he had gone around. So I'm running through the store. His mom is running through the store because we can't see him because they got all those different aisles. And we're shouting, "Call, call, call." And in amongst all those shelves and all those people in Walmart, this little boy pokes his head around the corner of a shopping unit, and there he is. He recognized the voice. Not because it was the loudest voice, although it was pretty loud. Not because you couldn't really hear a whole lot because of so many people and all the shelving units, but it was a voice of familiarity. He recognized that familiar voice. That's the picture that the Lord provides for us. His voice should be familiar to us, and we hear His voice. But familiarity only comes as we spend time with Him. First Samuel chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. This is the story of little Samuel. He's a little boy, like when Coco was little. And Samuel's mother has dedicated him to the Lord's service in the temple. And little Samuel had never heard the voice of God before. But if you're a prophet of God and you're in training, you're going to have to learn to recognize the voice of God and hear the voice of God. So reading from verses 8 through 10 of 1 Samuel 3. When Eli, he's the mentor, he's the senior prophet, if you will, at the temple. When Eli perceived the Lord had called the boy, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Can you imagine that little boy hearing the voice of God for the very first time? Because the text says that as he would hear this voice, the whisper of God speaking to him, he thought it was Eli calling him. So he'd go and wake Eli up, and Eli's getting old. He needs his rest. He needs his beauty sleep. His wife said, "Eli, don't bother setting the alarm." But he was tired, and he was old. And this little boy, he says, "Man, I may as well have a puppy. This is keeping me awake at night." And then Eli recognized, listen, God's got a calling on your life, and He wants to speak into your life. He wants to speak into your life and mine. How often do we get either indifferent or empathetic, or we're so burdened down with cares, we don't listen to His voice? We're not even hoping that He's going to speak to us. God wants to speak to us more than we want to be spoken to. And His words are words of hope and faith and love and encouragement. Who would want to hear that voice? We need that voice in such a negative, downcast world. We need to hear a voice that speaks such positive truth into the core of our being. Samuel, Samuel. Speak, for your servant hears. And just as babies learn to recognize their parents' voices, believers mature as they continue to walk with Christ. The same is true spiritually. We often ask, why doesn't God speak louder? A little louder would be nice. Perhaps the better question is, am I spending enough time with Him to recognize His voice? Abiding creates familiarity. Familiarity. The more time we spend with Christ, the more recognizable His voice becomes. That's number two. Hearing His voice is the evidence of relationship. Number three, the voice of Jesus is found first in His word. Verses 9 through 10. Jesus says, "I am the door." he kind of brings two metaphors together. He says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life, but I'm also the door. And in ancient culture, there was one sheepfold. All the shepherds would bring their sheep into that sheepfold, and they would hire someone as the doorkeeper. And he'd watch the sheep overnight, and then the shepherds would come back in the morning, and the doorkeeper would punch his time clock, and he would go, and the shepherds would all check, good morning, Ralph. Good morning, Joe. And then off they'd go, and they'd have their day. And then the shepherds would lead the flocks out of the sheepfold and into the pasture for grazing for the day. So here, Jesus kind of brings those two metaphors. He says, I'm also the door. I'm the good shepherd, but I'm also the door. In other words, he's working full-time on your behalf, mine, protecting us at night and providing for us during the day. That's a good shepherd. He said, I'm the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You see the mobility? You see the fluidity? You see the empowerment? You see the safety? You see the provision? It's all right there. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, who is he talking about? We got thieves. We got robbers. We got sheep. Now, sheep had value. Yeah, they were dirty and dumb, but they had value. They had real value. And Jesus points to the value of the sheep because he mentions over and over again, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. They're that precious. And Jesus lays down his life for each of you. You're that precious to him. You know, the Bible says, as much as God the Father has loved God the Son, Jesus said, that's how much I've loved you. That's a whole lot of love. That's a whole lot of value. And then he says, so ought you to love one another. And that's a supernatural act to love in the way that he loves. But the sheep have value. Great value. But then, who are the thieves? Now, who's the sheepfold? We know who the shepherd is. Well, the sheepfold, according to the context, is Israel. Israel. All through the Old Testament, the psalmist refers to the sheep of his pasture, right? Psalm 77. Talks about the sheep of God's pasture, the nation Israel. But then also Jesus talks about other sheep, and he's giving a prophetic word about the fact that, look, the good shepherd came to his own, the scripture says, and his own received him not. He came to the sheepfold of Israel, and his own did not receive him. He became the stone, the cornerstone that the builders rejected. So the sheepfold is Israel. The other sheep are the Gentiles that are grafted into the family of faith through the extension of God's grace. Now, Israel was to be the sheepfold that would pass on the blessing to all of the other nations around. And rather than being a conduit of God's love, they saw themselves as a bucket or a swimming pool of God's grace and mercy, with no outlet, just the flow of God. And they kept all that blessing for themselves. They were unfaithful in terms of God's calling. And so Jesus came to his own rejected him, and then the gospel we see through the disciples, through the Apostle Paul, and going out to the ends of the earth. Even the Great Commission, John 28:19 says, God says, go. Jesus says, go into all the world. Make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So the sheepfold is Israel. The other sheep are believing Gentiles who are grafted into the family of faith. Well, what about the thief? Who is that? Who are these people that come to kill, steal, and destroy? Those are the Judaizers. The scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites. It's false religion. We see false religion everywhere today. Last night I was at an engagement party for a couple that's wanting to get married, and there was a man there who had come out of Jehovah's Witnesses. He said, I left as a 14-year-old because I came to understand that it was a false religion. And he says, now I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in anything. And I'm particularly anxious about religions. I was able to just briefly share that Jesus is a good shepherd. We had several opportunities just to connect with people over the last few days. It's that whole vine and branches thing, right? Abiding, fruitfulness. You know, what is the sole responsibility of a branch? Is it to bear fruit? No, it's not to bear fruit. The sole responsibility of you of a branch, me as a branch, is to abide in Him, to stay connected to Him. And that fruit-bearing process is His lifeblood flowing through the vine out into the branches, and that's where the fruit happens. Our sole responsibility is not fruit-bearing, it's abiding. The fruit-bearing is something that He produces in those who abide. Well, he says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out, find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. What Jesus is talking about is the overflowing cup of His eternal kingdom. Abundance, joy. These things I've spoken to you that you may have joy and that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. This is Christ's promise to those who abide and who practice the conversation of abiding. Joy, fullness. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's where the abundance is. That's where the fullness is. You know, sometimes people speak about hearing God's voice in a dramatic way. And they may, in fact, hear God's voice in a dramatic way. I think about Acts chapter 9, where Paul the apostle was, he wasn't the apostle then, he was Saul. Changed his name after his conversion. But he was taking Christians, followers of Christ, leading them to Damascus, where they would either be imprisoned, tortured, or executed. He was a religious Pharisee, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the text says. He thought he was doing God's work. But he was terribly misguided. And he was knocked off his horse by the power of God. And the text says that the people with him could hear God's voice speaking, but they couldn't see anything. And here's Paul, Saul, with his face down in the dirt, and the weight of conviction of the voice of God that said to him in a voice loud enough that everyone could hear, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the conviction of my spirit. And Saul, hearing the voice, said, Lord, what would you have me do? I think that's what the Lord waits to hear from you and me. Isaiah in the temple praying, Lord, here am I, send me. What would you have me do? Dramatic experiences. Yes, the Lord could speak in a dramatic way, but you know the primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. All Scripture, given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. The voice of God. The psalmist says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass away from my word. There's only two things that last forever, God's word and people's souls. God's word is given as the means whereby we can have meaningful conversation with the Father. It's God's living voice. And when we open Scripture with humble hearts, Christ speaks. He convicts, He comforts, He corrects, He encourages, He reveals Himself through His Word. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the innermost part of your being, separating the soul from the spirit, the joint from the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man or woman's heart. You talk about intimate, personal conversation. That tells you the depth of the kind of conversation that you can have in my own life as I'm spending time in God's Word daily, not to prepare a sermon for you, but to hear the voice of God, the real joy and the richness of His presence rings with resonant clarity in my heart, my mind. That's available to every believer. And when you go to Scripture, you're not just trying to complete a reading plan. You're looking to meet Jesus in those pages. You know, many believers look for extraordinary revelations while neglecting the daily voice already given to them through Scripture. Abiding means opening God's Word, not simply to gain theological knowledge, but to meet the Shepherd. That's number three. Number four, the Shepherd's voice produces trust. The Shepherd's voice produces trust. Verse 5, Jesus says, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." We would teach our kids, if somebody tries to abduct you, you go, "Stranger, stranger, stranger." And when they're being disobedient, and they go, "Stranger, stranger." You're going to get us in trouble. They're going to think we're abducting you. Kids, they can push all the wrong buttons, right? I'm calling the child ministry for child abuse. Yeah. Shepherd's voice produces trust. They won't follow a stranger. And I want you to notice he doesn't say strangers never speak. Strangers do speak. They do speak. And in essence, he's referring to the Judaizers, the false teachers who are speaking continually. There's false teachers around you, and they're speaking. You need to be very wise and discerning. Even here in this church, you need to be like the Bereans to check Scripture to see if these things are so. You simply don't trust, you know, that I'm going to get it right all the time, because I don't. Scripture has the final authority, but you know what? You should have enough confidence in the people who provide spiritual teaching to know that they love Christ first and foremost, and that they are true to His Word. Good workmen, rightly dividing the Word of truth, who need not to be ashamed. And you want to have that kind of confidence that you have good preachers and teachers who communicate the truth. Strangers do speak. And you know, there's many voices competing for your attention. It might be false doctrine and false teachers, but you know, it might be the voice of fear, the voice of shame, the voice of hopelessness. My life is never going to change. I'm broken over the things that happened. That's the voice of despair. The voice of culture. The voice of success. The voice of comparison. Or the voice of our own flesh. You know, Satan can't read your mind, but he can certainly put thoughts in your mind. The Scripture says he's the accuser of the brethren. He spends a lot of time bringing up mistakes of the past and uses it to tear us down. You have to really monitor those voices. God's voice will bring conviction, but it doesn't bring guilt and shame and fear. You know, our enemy has specialized in counterfeit voices. Go right back to Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Like, Satan didn't just come out and deny God's voice. He questioned God's voice. Did God really say? And I want you to note, every temptation without fail begins with listening to the wrong voice. What voice has been speaking to you this past week? I want you to notice that every act of obedience begins with trusting the voice of the shepherd. And this is why abiding matters. The closer we remain to Christ, the easier it becomes to distinguish his voice from the false voices. That's number four. Number five, the shepherd leads. He doesn't merely push. He leads. But if he's leading, it means we have to follow. Moved by the impulse of his love. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, it says he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. As I mentioned earlier, in ancient Near East, the shepherds typically walked ahead of the sheep. They didn't drive them, they led them. And that tells us something about Jesus. Now, imagine for a minute a small child walking down a sidewalk in a busy city. There's cars, all kinds of traffic, people going multiple different directions. There's stoplights, there's pedestrian crosswalks. And this child is walking down this busy street with confidence. How? Not because the child has a map. Not because the child understands the flow of traffic. Not because the child recognizes familiar street corners. It's because the child is holding the father's hand. How busy is the city where you live? How tight is your grip of the hand of the father, the one who leads you through the maze of a complex world and life? He never asks us to walk where he's not already gone. He walked through suffering. He walked through rejection. He walked through sorrow. He even walked through death itself. So when Jesus asks you to walk, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, the scripture says. When he leads us from experience. Abiding means trusting the one who already knows the path. Isn't that great to know? He already knows the way. Just walk with me. We have a GPS system in both of our vehicles. And if I could figure out how to program them, I'd probably use them more. I'm just a dumb sheep, especially when it comes to technology. But when you do get the right direction and address pumped into this little machine on your dash, it will actually tell you which direction to go. But usually, it doesn't give you the whole layout of all the twists and turns and corners. It gives you one turn, one direction at a time. One at a time. I think many of us would love it if God would just give us the entire map so we could see all the twists and turns. But he doesn't do that, does he? He tells us one step at a time, one turn at a time, one stoplight, one green light at a time, one instruction at a time. What does he give us? Instead of a map that tells us all the detail, he gives us himself. The Christian life is rarely illuminated 10 years ahead. Usually it's one faithful step after another. The shepherd says, follow me. Follow me. The shepherd says, follow me. Are you following? That's number 5. Number 6, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Now this is the heart of the passage. I already prepared you for this passage. 5 times. Verse 11 through 15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And this is what separates Jesus from every false shepherd. False shepherds take. False shepherds deceive. False shepherds lead astray. But Jesus gives. False shepherds use people. Jesus dies for people. And the cross proves forever that the shepherd's voice can be trusted. Wherever you doubt God's goodness, wherever, whatever part of your life, wherever you doubt God's goodness, look to Calvary. Look to the cross. That's number 6. Number 7, abiding is an ongoing conversation, verses 25 through 28. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. This portion of Scripture is about salvation, the security of salvation. There may be professors of Christ, but what the text says is those who are possessors of Christ, their salvation is secure. And how do you know the ones that are secure? James says, and you'll know them by their fruits. Faith without works is dead. And what he's saying is that process of abiding means fruit bearing. And you'll see that fruit in their lives. And what he's saying is genuine faith produces a changed life. Abiding is an ongoing conversation. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Abiding is walking in continual fellowship with Jesus. As we talked about last week, John 15, Jesus said, abiding in me. Remaining with Christ means living in continual conversation with Him. And prayer is not simply presenting requests, it's listening. Reading Scripture, not merely checking a box, it's listening. Worship is listening. Obedience is listening. Silence before God is listening. I want you to notice as we cultivate these practices, our hearts become increasingly sensitive to the shepherd's voice and his leading. We begin noticing his guidance in ordinary moments. His peace redirects us. His word corrects us. His spirit prompts us to forgive, to encourage, to give, to wait, to trust. Abiding is learning to recognize that the shepherd has been speaking all along. We understand. Hearing his voice, abiding is an ongoing conversation. What are practical ways to grow in hearing his voice? First, spend time daily in his word. Ask the Lord, what are you saying to me today? Second, cultivate quietness. Our world is filled with noise. Subscriber notifications to YouTube, Instagram, entertainment, endless notifications. I want you to know that the shepherd's voice is never absent, but oftentimes our attention is. So it's incumbent upon us to say, where are my thoughts today? Am I distracted? Do I need to be entertained? Do I need something to constantly stimulate me? Or can I sit in silence and wait on the Lord. It's a forgotten discipline. I know that the Puritans, they understood the importance of that, one of the spiritual disciplines. Third, obey what he's already said. Obey what he's, and the truth is that obedience to God's revealed will brings greater clarity as you move forward. If we ignore the truth we already know, we shouldn't expect further direction. Fourth, stay close to the shepherd. Hearing his voice is not about mastering a technique. It's about deepening a relationship. The sheep recognize the shepherd because they stay near him. You know, in my garage, I have an old radio. It's about this tall. And during a particularly turbulent time in the life of our family, my brother and I went to live with my aunt and uncle, Uncle Walter and Aunt Edith. And they lived on this farm where the barn was four times as big as the house. Big old red barn. A little house, maybe with three rooms, one back room where we slept, where the freezer was. Every night, my aunt would pull out the big family Bible with all these brightly colored pictures of Moses standing on a rock with white hair blowing, and Daniel in the lion's den, and him praying. In the morning, we get up, and there was this radio sitting in my garage. It wasn't then. It was sitting in their kitchen. And I remember her getting down, and it has tubes in it, and you have to wait for it to warm up, right? And then she would begin to turn the dial on it, on the front, and it goes, make those noises. Finally, we'd hear that beautiful radio voice, Theodore Epp, Back to the Bible broadcast. For younger people, you probably never heard of Back to the Bible, although we just watched a Back to the Bible video. It's nice to see their ministry continues. Once the signal was located, the clarity was impacting. And he would teach us about God's word, and we would hear his voice speaking. The station was still broadcasting. The problem wasn't the signal. The problem was the receiver. Sometimes we say, well, God isn't speaking to me. Abiding helps tune our hearts to his voice. Prayer, scripture, worship, silence, obedience. Each of those practices helps clear away the static. Zero in on the signal. There's a great Bible illustration, and I'm going to close with this. It's Elijah. And you remember Elijah was a great prophet of God. There was Elijah and Elisha, who was kind of a younger understudy. But Elijah was a great prophet of God. And he was challenging the voices of his day that were speaking lies. They were the prophets of Baal. They were up on Mount Carmel. And they built altars to their gods. And he challenged all these false prophets of Baal who'd been talking up a storm. He says, I challenge you. Go ahead and call down fire from heaven and consume your altars. And they shouted, they prayed, they cut themselves, they did every gyration that they could possibly manage, but there was no fire. And he says, boys, let me show you how it's done. And he steps up, God, little flame, please. Boom! The flames came down. It was like an explosion, like somebody poured gasoline over all the altars. It went up in one giant conflagration. As they say, it was inflammable. Or flammable. Inflammable. It all went up. So Elijah said, now that's a good show. But how did that condition him? He'd seen the mighty power of God. God wanted him to understand something about listening to his voice. It's not all about the big show. Holy man of God. Not about the big show. So God sends a mighty wind. And Elijah can't hear the voice of God. Then God sends an earthquake. Still, Elijah can't hear the voice of God. Then God sends more fire. And still, Elijah doesn't hear the voice of God. In that moment when his head is turned towards the ground, and there's silence, silence, he hears a small whisper. It was the voice of God. It was the voice of God. It was God's voice. God's voice wasn't in the dramatic. It wasn't in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. It was a small, still voice that spoke very softly and said, Elijah, holy man of God, can you hear my voice? Are you abiding? Because I'm speaking. One of the greatest promises in all Scripture is not simply that God speaks, is that His people can know His voice and have continual fellowship with Him. He walks before us, calls us by name, lays down His life for us. He leads us safely home. My prayer is that as we continue learning what it means to abide in Christ, may our hearts become increasingly attentive to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And when countless other voices compete for our attention, may we answer with confidence. I know that voice, that still small voice. That's my shepherd. And wherever he leads, I will follow. I will follow. Pray with me. Precious Shepherd, Savior, Lord, thank you for speaking to us today and calling us to yourself. With such conviction and clarity, we give you the praise and the honor and the thanks. Thank you that you are a God who speaks. Help us to be your sheep who listen. Thank you for laying down your life. Thank you that you don't abandon us to our own devices, that you walk with us continually. Forgive us when we are indifferent or when we think that we can fly solo. Bring us back to you and teach us what it means to hear your voice, the conversation of abiding in the one who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.